Father, I ask that you would bless this word this morning. Because Holy Spirit, if you're not in it, nothing's going to happen. But I know, Holy Spirit, that you're in this place this day, where you visit us continuously. You are with us continuously. So I pray, Lord, that this word will sink in and help to encourage, to lift up, to guide, to strengthen my brothers and sisters in Christ. For we do so in his name. Amen. I've called this word saved for a purpose. Saved for a purpose. And in 1 John 3:8, he writes, "He who sins is of the devil." That's a worry. "For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil." Now we all have a reason and a purpose. And Jesus came with an incredible reason and purpose to turn the world around, to take it out of Satan's hands and to give it back to the Father. And it was the Father's plan. And he started that plan with his own Son, Christ Jesus. What a hard life. You know what it's like when you know you've got to go to the dentist? It hurts long before you get there. It's painful. It's worrying. It's depressing. We worry about things that haven't as yet happened. And then when we get there, it's nowhere near as bad as they thought it was going to be. But Jesus went through this for 30 years and beyond, because he knew before the world was started where he was going, what he was going to have to suffer. It must have been dreadful. It must have been really hard. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy everything that Satan is trying to do. And nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. I know he said it is finished. If it was totally finished, why are we here? You see, the baton was passed on to us. We have a purpose for being here. We have a reason for being here. And it's the same reason: to destroy the works of the devil. It's up to us to destroy him. To say no. To rise up against the things that he asks us to do and tempts us to do. It's up to us to destroy the works of the devil. In 2 Tim 1:8, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." We don't do it alone. He is with us every inch of the step, every way. He is with us in all of our trials and tribulations. He is with us when we fail. Please don't tell me I'm the only one. We all fail, one way or another. But when we succeed to overcome, we are defeating the works of the evil one. And it doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is, when we win, we are deceiving the evil one, who thinks he's winning all the time. We beat him down. We beat him to it. We thwart his ways. We are called according to his purpose, not ours. It's not what we want. It's what God wants. If God didn't have a purpose for each and every one of us, there's no point of us being here. We might as well go home today. Whoopee-doo. And he has given us this work to do. And sometimes we say, oh, and I can't do any big things. I struggle with this and I struggle with that. But we have seen God's work this morning through our brother coming back. That is deceiving the evil one, who thought, I've got him. No, he hasn't. He's battling back. And we're battling with him. Remember, brothers and sisters, we work together. We lift up those that are struggling. Faith and I pray for the brothers and sisters around the world that are being tortured, are suffering for Christ today, that the Holy Spirit will be with them and strengthen them. It's the Holy Spirit that strengthens us, but we need to be able to allow him in. We need to be able to reach out to him. We need to have the word planted deep inside our spirits to be able to combat the things of the evil one. And then the Holy Spirit can bring them out and use them as a battling weapon. The word is such an incredible weapon against the works of the evil one. You've heard me say time and time again, it's my favorite scripture. Bringing every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. Every thought. When a thought comes in here, and I know it's not from Jesus, I know it's from the evil one. Say, bring in every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Scriptures work. The Bible's there to read, but not just to read. James says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We need to get the word and use it, because when we use the word against Satan, as Jesus did in the wilderness, we defeat him. We defeat the works of the evil one. We destroy the works of the evil one. Even if it's one little thought that you destroy, you're winning. You know, we got an old, and you've heard me say this 1,000 times, the old English thing that we say, look after the pennies and the pounds will look after themselves. Look after the little bits of deception and the big ones won't come in. You strengthen yourself up. You know, these muscle builders, they do it a bit at a time. They don't come in as 9-stone weaklings and walk out as 20-stone strength. They do it a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, precept upon precept, little upon little. And that's how we need to work. And if you haven't stepped out yet, step out this morning. One scripture, you've heard me say before, that's the trouble when you keep preaching, you keep saying the same things over and over again. You heard me say before about the little verse book, and they brought some in and had some in. I read mine every night, and there's all things in there, you know, from fear, from loss, from pain, from financial problems. And the scriptures are all like, I used to say in the old days, Lord, I know it's in here, but where is it? There's a lot of words in here, and for this particular problem, where is it in there? Where is it? And you lose it, and you walk away, and you lose. But you get this little memory book. You look down the index. That's what's bothering me today. Turn to that page. There's a dozen or more scriptures that you can use. You only need one. You don't need them all. Only need one. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he didn't have to speak the whole scripture. You notice in those scriptures, in his battle with Satan in the wilderness, he only started the scripture. But Satan knew he knew it, and he knew Satan knew it, and he knew who won. You don't have to rattle off the whole scripture. I've got to that place with that particular scripture where I say, bring in everything, and it's gone, it's finished, it's done. I've won that battle. I've conquered Satan in that particular area. When you go to war, one man doesn't win the war. You send thousands of troops in, and they all do their little bit, and they win. And we're the same. We've got thousands of troops here in the Bible, but we only need one at each particular battle. We only need one word, and we defeat the words. We defeat the works of the evil one. We've got a purpose. We're here for a reason. Are we willing to give up our plans to fulfill his purpose? Are we willing to say, no, I'm not going to that thing because I know it's of the evil one? No, I'm not going to think down that track because I know it's the works of the evil one. No, I'm not going to start taking up drinking again. That's been trying to get back into my life again. But I've got the victory. I've got the victory over what used to kill me. It can't happen because he knows I've got the victory. I can still go out on a Friday night and have a drink. One drink. That's enough. I could bring a dozen slabs of beer into the house. But it's not going to happen because I've got the victory. That's a great feeling. And no matter what's bothering today, you can have the victory today. Just get hold of the right scripture. Get hold of a little book. Talk to somebody that knows all about where the scriptures are, which counts me out. I don't know where they all are. I don't even know where the books are these days. When somebody says, turn to your Bible, I immediately go right to the front where it's got all the books listed. But I don't know where they are anymore. And I'll say it to you young people, I've said it to many young people these days, don't get old. Just stand against it. Don't get old. It's not the best time of life. Sorry? Oh yeah, it's... Stay young and thou wilt prosper. In Ephesians 4:10-12, he who descended is also the one who has ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, you can't expect to be any one of those mentioned. You can't expect to be all of them. But you can expect to be you. I can't be you. You can't be him. He can't be her. We are individuals called to do individual things in Christ. And it doesn't necessarily mean one of that list. You can just be a little Aussie battler and battle the daily problems, the tiny things, the thought that comes, the desire to do, the willingness not to do. That's where we become overcomers. And we strengthen not only ourselves, but we strengthen the body of Christ when we overcome. When we tackle the small things, God will look at, you know, the talents. 1:10, 1:5, 1:1. He'll give us bigger things to do when we prove ourselves in the smaller things. Personally, I don't want any bigger things. Now, Ephesians, we've just read, we may have a lifetime purpose, an everyday calling, for argument's sake, to be one of those, a pastor. Huh. There are so many things that we can turn our lives over to and do on a full-time basis. I always say when we're praying for our many missionary friends overseas that and at home, I consider them to be on the front line. I always think of missionaries overseas as battling right out on the front line. And to them, it is a lifestyle. They're not just pastoring, they're not just running a church, they're not just gathering a few souls. It's a full daytime job and nighttime job. Whereas several of you guys, you're working to make money to live. And you'll just be called to do the odd thing now and again. And who knows that you may have been called into life just to do one thing. Just one thing. I've got to watch my fingers. Where's Luke? I still get pulled up over that, Luke. After all these years, there's no forgiveness in some Christians. You may be called in life and you're going through life today and you think, I never do anything. I never achieve anything. I don't seem to win anywhere. I seem to fall down in the same hole day after day after day. It just doesn't seem to happen. But if you stick in there, you must be destined or may be destined for just one thing. One thing. Esther went in before the king, saved a nation. You hear of missionaries that are out there and they get killed. And you think, what was the point? What was the point? But you hear afterwards that a whole tribe was saved to God because one man was killed on a seashore somewhere in a distant island. You never know in your walk with God whether you'll turn a corner one day and face your destiny. But if you're not staying with God and winning the little tiny battles, you'll never get to the corner. You'll never turn around the corner. You'll never fulfill your God-given destiny. Because if you don't, God will find somebody else that will. His plan will be fulfilled no matter what. But it's a joy to get around the corner and find, wow, this is what I'm here for. And you feel the joy of the Lord, and you feel fulfilled in what you do, and you know that's the right place and the right thing that you're doing, and the joy suddenly comes upon you when you know the Holy Spirit has been with you all the way through your trials and tribulations, and you've stayed faithful to the very end when you turn around the corner, and something happens in your life that just lifts everything above your head and above your shoulders, and you know, hey, I'm winning. I'm winning. Because that's what we're called to do as Christians. We are soldiers of God, and we are called to win. And we win when we are in Him, because He's already gone forward and done the battles for us. We've just got to be humble and trusting and ready and willing and have open ears to His calling. Too many people hear, but because they listen to the sinful words of Satan for so long, they can no longer hear clearly what Jesus is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying. The more you stay in His hands, the easier it is to hear. I love it. Absolutely. I get rapt when I'm before a congregation and speaking and something just drops in. I know it's not me. I know it's the Holy Spirit. Something drops into your spirit that you've never even thought about before. And it's just an elation. Hey, He's still with me. Because sometimes we feel that He ain't. You get that feeling now and again that, man, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God is so far away from me. All I can see is, I love that darkness thing. I've experienced that twice in my life, really seriously. And once when I was in the Air Force, before I knew the Lord, it scared the living daylights out of me. Another time much later when I was in some spiritual battling that was going on, and I was in an absolutely pitch black place. But this time I had the weapons of warfare in my spirit, and I came out victorious. It's wonderful what a little bit of light does. A candle in a pitch black room will chase around the little nasties, chase them out. It's an amazing thing. And we carry that light. And when we shine that light, when we show that we can win, no matter how small it is, the darkness starts to dissipate. It dissipates around us. And when the darkness flees from us, we shine in a light. We feel the glory of God around us and in us. It's a wonderful place to be. But don't expect to be there all the time. Missionaries die. Pastors fall away. I heard a figure. I wish I could remember figures, but I heard a figure of the pastors that have fallen away in the USA. That's in the hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds, not just one or two. Hundreds and hundreds are just chucking in the towel and walking away. When you see the little things that are happening around the world, churches closing, Bibles being destroyed. When I say destroyed, I mean like 60 scriptures being taken out of modern printed Bibles. Vital scriptures that we need. The world says, oh, we don't need those. You see, they are making the Bible so it'll cover their sin. They're not getting rid of their sin and uplifting the Bible. It's our job. We've got to do it. We've got to stand up for Christ. We've got to stand up for the Bible. We've got to go forward and win. Start with the little things. Start with it. You know, we've all got a weakness. If you haven't, please come and talk to me afterwards. I'd like to learn something. We've all got a weakness, and Satan knows that weakness better than you. He's been at it for several thousand years. You've only had a few dozen years. And he's very good at fooling us. We need to get onto these little things and break them down. Break them down. Get rid of them. Come out on top. Romans 9:17. Don't you love computers? I love this. Mine wouldn't work the last time I came in. I had to change my message. Romans 9:17 says, "For the scripture says to Pharaoh, 'For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared throughout the earth.'" You see, God raises us up for a purpose. A purpose is not always a good purpose. How many of you know that you can be hurt by a brother or sister in Christ? How many of you know that you get more hurt in church than you do out there? You see, God's working within all of us, and sometimes he puts us up along somebody that feels like they've been wrapped in sandpaper. Wish I was somewhere else instead of standing alongside this purpose. But that is rubbing some of the rubbish off of us. We're supposed to be upholding those that are weaker in the faith. We're supposed to be encouraging those that can't quite see it right. We're supposed to encourage them, not shove it down their throats. I remember when I first planted the church down at Yankalilla, we had the Adelaide Revival Church down there. They had a big following down there, and they got into everybody. You could go into a shop and be accosted. You could be laying on the beach and be accosted. You could be walking down the road in the main street and be accosted. And when I pioneered the church down there, they associated my church with them. And we had an awful job trying to break through and plant the church and get it going. You see, not all Christians are necessarily on our side and see things as we see them. I remember I had a tiny split in my church, and you get really upset about that sort of thing. And I went to the Lord, and the Lord said, "That split is looking after people you can't look after. Uniting is looking after people you can't look after. You're looking after people the Anglican can't look after, but we're all looking after the people." You see where I'm coming at? We can't rubbish. I know people rubbish the Catholic Church. I remember being at the deathbed of a good friend who was a staunch Catholic, and I knew she was a born-again Christian. And she was so looking forward to go to be with the Lord. Her husband believed he was saved because the priest said he was a good man doing work around the church. We're not saved of works. It is the gift of God. Perhaps you have a one-off purpose in God's predestined plan for you. You see, he raised up Pharaoh. How would you like to be a Pharaoh? I have raised you up to knock you down. But the word says that some vessels are made for honor and some made for dishonor from the same lump. So we need to be praising the Lord and giving him glory for what part of the lump we are. We are so blessed. Don't ever diminish the blessings that we receive every day. They are new every morning. Great is the Lord. God has a plan for you. It would be such a shame to miss it. You remember the man at the pool, Shiloh? Been there for yonks. And the disciple said, "Why is he there? Sins that he fulfilled or his father fulfilled?" And Jesus said, "Neither. Neither. He is there to bring glory to God." And that's why we're here. That's our purpose in being, is to bring glory to God. And we do it through the little things as well as the big things. Blessed are you if the Lord calls you to do some nice big things. We pray for a guy called Sunday Elijah. He's in the Ukraine. He set up a church in Belgium before that. And he gathers thousands and thousands. Like the guy in Singapore. Thousands and thousands. I don't know how he does it, but God does. God chose him to do that job. He chose me to stand here and talk to you this morning. I preached to 3 people. That was my church. I don't know what I did wrong. I'm such a loving guy. In Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good, and quite often Christians stop there. No, all things don't work together for good. They work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose, who fulfill his purpose, who love him and not their own ways and their own desires. Love God first. First and foremost is love God, for all things work for his purpose, and not always good things or happy things. As I've said just now, sometimes missionaries go out with this great plan and this great desire and this great massive faith that they're going to draw in thousands of people, and they don't draw in anybody, and they get killed. But they are a building block for something that God is doing, because they are called according to his purpose and they love God. It must work out well for them. Where would we be if Christ hadn't died? I very often bring this up in my own mind. Lord, I wonder what I'd be doing right now, if I'd even be still alive right now, if you hadn't called me. Don't bemoan your position in life today. Who knows what God is just doing around the corner, as we said later, waiting for it to be manifested. Ecclesiastes says, to every purpose there is a time. Our main purpose of calling is to destroy the works of the evil one. That's our daily calling, not some big super thing. Every time we witness, every time we fulfill God's will, call to help someone, to encourage, to do all those things that Christians are supposed to do, we are attacking Satan. We are winning the war every time we fulfill something God asks us to do. There's a little story that I found on the street. This is a guy speaking. On the street, I saw a small girl, cold and shivering in a thin dress, with little hope of getting a decent meal. I became angry and said to God, why did you permit that? Why don't you do something about it? For a while, God said nothing. And then that night, as the guy was in bed meditating, the voice of God spoke loudly into his mind and said, I did do something. I made you. I made you. That's you and me. He's brought us here for a purpose, to help little kids that are shivering and not getting food, to help brothers and sisters that are struggling, to do those things that he has asked us to do. I'd like to read a passage before I close. It's in Matthew 25:34-46. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and went to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You see, when we do something for others, we do it for him, because that's what the word says. When we cast out something that is attacking us personally and we win, we're doing it for him, for Jesus, because we say, yes, we've won that battle for you, and I feel better for it. Bless you each and every one. Have a great week. Try and remember a scripture for a situation that you personally find in your lives. For we all have a weakness, I happen to know. Bless you all.